Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good to see all of you here this evening. We're so grateful to have guests here with us. If you're a guest here with us, we want you to know that you have chosen to be in a good place, a place where the Bible is taught, and you are among people who believe in obeying God's Word in the Bible. This is the last day of the gospel meeting, and I want you all to know that I really appreciate all of you. I appreciate all the members here who have invited me over to have dinner with them and lunch with them. I probably have gained about 15 pounds since I've been on this meeting, and my wife probably will not be able to recognize me when I go home. But that's a good thing, because that means the food was really, really good, and I appreciate that. I want to say thank you to Jacob and Sarah for the hospitality and letting me stay with them in their home, and to Luke as well. I know Luke is ready for me to go, so this is my last night. This is a fine congregation, and the brethren here work very hard. And Jacob is a fine, effective gospel preacher, and I will pray that God continues to bless the work here in this place. I'm going to pray for you every day, and I hope that God continues to bless you, and that you continue to do His work, labor in His kingdom. As we transition into the lesson tonight, I would like to start by saying this. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Acts, the book that we have been studying this week. The book is full of amazing stories. The book is real and adventurous. The book's suspense causes the heart to go on a roller coaster ride at times. 1 minute, the apostles are converting thousands of souls. The next minute, their lives are being threatened or they're being thrown in jail. Despite the fact the book of Acts is full of suspense and adventure, there is probably no other book in the New Testament whose conclusion is more puzzling than this book. The book of Acts ends, it concludes, with the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel in prison. He is a man who has preached in a number of places, yet Acts ends with him arrested and thrown in jail. Listen to how the book of Acts ends. Please turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, and we will revisit these scriptures on numerous times this evening. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31. The scripture says, "And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered." The reason Paul is in prison is because he is falsely accused of bringing a Gentile, Trophimus, into the Jewish temple. The last chapter in Acts describes Paul in Rome on sort of a house arrest for 2 years. He's waiting for his case to be heard by the emperor. The last thing Luke, who is the author of Acts, the last thing he tells us about Paul is he's able to preach the gospel with openness, unhindered. Luke does not tell us whether Paul is released from prison or not. He just abruptly decides to end the book. Why does he end with so many questions still dangling in the air? Even the book of Revelation, with all of its mysteries, provides us with closure. Why is Acts the only book in the New Testament that leaves us desiring more? I don't know about you, but I would like to know what happened to Paul. What happened to the progression of Christianity? Is Paul ever released from prison, or does he die in prison? Luke does not tell us in his conclusion. There is a logical explanation as to why God ends Acts the way he does. Tonight we're going to consider the puzzling conclusion of the book of Acts, and based on its conclusion, we're going to make some important and necessary application in our lives. But before we discuss the necessary application from Acts' conclusion, there are two questions that we must first answer. The first question that we must answer is, who is the main character of Acts? And I would like to pose this question to all of you in the audience this evening. Who do you think the main character of Acts is? You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to think about this. Maybe you think the main character in the book of Acts is the Apostle Peter. Peter seems to be a very important character in this book. And in Acts chapter 2, he is the one who takes the initiative to stand up and preach the first gospel sermon to thousands of Jews. He also preached the first gospel sermon to the Gentiles. He was commanded by God to go to the household of Cornelius and preach that salvation is now available for the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10. It is true that Peter is a significant character in the book of Acts, but he is not the central character. After Acts chapter 12, Peter is hardly ever mentioned again. The book of Acts gives us a lot of information about the ministry of Peter, but the book itself is not about him. If we were to compare Acts to a movie, Peter would be one of the supporting characters, but he is not the main character. Maybe you think the book of Acts, the main character, is the Apostle Paul. Listen to what Jesus says to Ananias about Paul in Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 16. In Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 16, Jesus speaking to Ananias about Paul. He says, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Jesus says he chose Paul to be his instrument to go among the Gentiles preaching the gospel. After Paul is converted in Acts chapter 9, the rest of the book seems to focus on his ministry. He is given a special mission to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He converted many of the characters we have grown to love. He converted Timothy, Titus, many of the Corinthians, the jailer in his household, and the household of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. He is the leader of three missionary journeys throughout the continent of Asia. We can read about him preaching the gospel in Thessalonica, the district of Galatia, Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, Berea, and Antioch. He was also selected by Jesus to go to Rome and teach people about him. It is true that Paul is a significant character in the book of Acts, but he is not the central character. Paul was not even mentioned in the book until we get to the end of Acts chapter 7. The book mentions several things about the ministry of Paul, but the book itself is not solely focused on him. He is a supporting character, but he is not the main character. Maybe you think the main characters of the book of Acts is all of the apostles in the collective sense. The book is typically called the Acts of the Apostles. In the book, we can learn about Paul, Peter, James, and the appointment of Matthias. Listen to what Jesus says about them and says to them in Acts chapter 1. Please turn in your Bibles, Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Jesus speaking to his apostles, he says, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." In these scriptures, Jesus tells the apostles that soon they would receive power from the Holy Spirit. Based on this verse, it seems as if the rest of the book is going to focus on all of the obstacles the apostles would face when preaching the gospel. We can read about them being persecuted and imprisoned because of the message they preached. We can even read about some of them being shipwrecked, mobbed, and even murdered for the sake of the gospel. It is true that the apostles collectively are significant characters in the book of Acts, but individually, none of them are the central characters of the book. After the first chapter, only a few of the apostles are ever mentioned by name. Philip, Thomas, Thaddeus, and several others are hardly ever mentioned. The book mentions several things about the ministry of these men as a collective group, but none of these men ever become the primary focus of the book. They are all supporting characters. None of them are the main characters. Well, maybe you think the main character of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. Turn in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The scriptures say, when the day of Pentecost had come, they, speaking of all the apostles, were together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The Holy Spirit is the person the apostles are waiting for in Jerusalem at the beginning of Acts. Once His power comes upon the apostles, then they are ready to go into the world proclaiming the gospel. Nothing can take place until the Holy Spirit's power comes upon the apostles. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides and leads the apostles everywhere they go. He guides Philip the evangelist to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He forbids Paul from going to Asia for a time in Acts chapter 16. He sets apart both Paul and Barnabas and Antioch for an important preaching journey in Acts chapter 13. The Holy Spirit is the one who coordinates almost every event that takes place in the book. He is the one who delivers God's word to the apostles. The apostles are well aware of the fact that they can accomplish nothing without His help. The Holy Spirit's presence can be felt throughout the book of Acts. He is a significant character, but He is not the main character. His works are performed through the apostles, but you see, these actions fall secondary to the big picture. The Holy Spirit is the one who performs as the director or the producer of the book, but He is not the main character. The main characters of the book of Acts are none of the people that we've just mentioned. It is not Peter. It is not Paul. It is not the apostles. And it is not the Holy Spirit. So if none of these persons are the main characters of Acts, then who is it? The answer is obvious. And when I tell you, you're going to be mad at me for not mentioning Him first. The main character of the book of Acts is Jesus Christ. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 28, the scripture where we started. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31. Speaking of Paul in these scriptures, it says, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters. And he was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. The mission of the apostles was to preach the name of Jesus. If we were to closely examine every sermon preached and every chapter, we would easily see that Jesus is the central figure being addressed. Jesus is the only reason we have the book of Acts. Even though physically He is not present in most of the book, His presence can be still felt throughout. His presence can be felt through the ministry of the apostles and the works of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is about Jesus and the world learning that salvation can only be gained by following Him. He is the main character, and everyone else is nothing more than supporting characters. But remember, there's a second question that we must answer if we're going to understand Acts' conclusion. The second question that we must answer is, what is the theme of Acts? What is it about? Well, Acts is about two things. The first thing it is about the ongoing work of Jesus. Turn back to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Let's reread those scriptures. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Acts 1, verse 7 says, it is not for you, Jesus speaking to His apostles, He says, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. the author Luke gives us a fascinating introduction to this book. Right away, in verse number 8, he tells us what the book is going to be about. The book is going to be about the world learning about Jesus. Now let me give you some examples of what I mean here. In the first gospel sermon preached by Peter in Acts chapter 2, what did he preach about? He preached about how Jesus was both Lord and Christ. He preached the name of Jesus. Why does Herod order the apostle James to be murdered in Acts chapter 12? Because James was preaching the name of Jesus. Why did riots break out in cities like the city of Ephesus? Why were the apostles banned from going to certain cities? Because they were preaching the name of Jesus. Why does the apostle Paul transform from a man who at one time hated Christians? He wanted Christians to be murdered. How does he transform from a man who hated Christians to a man who was willing to die for the sake of the gospel? How does his transformation take place so quickly? Because the apostle Paul realized that salvation could only be gained in Jesus Christ. And that is why he changed his life and gave his life to Jesus. Why were innocent men beaten, arrested, and eventually put to death? Because they were preaching the resurrection of Jesus. Luke's theme for this particular book is very different than the book bearing his name. His objective for the gospel, according to Luke, is he wanted to give information about the earthly ministry of Jesus. He wanted man to be informed on the life Jesus lived, his earthly ministry, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. His objective for the book of Acts is to tell men about the ongoing work of Jesus. He wanted to show us that even though Christ was no longer physically on the earth, his work was still being carried out by his people. The book is a continuation of the Great Commission given by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Acts shows us how and when that commandment was carried out. Luke's main message for this book is, the work of Christ continues. So what does that mean? That means that the book of Acts is an unfinished story. And that is the next thing I want you to see. Acts is the unfinished story of the New Testament. Turn back to Acts chapter 28 again, please. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, once again. "And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered." The book of Acts seems to conclude unfinished for a reason. The reason it ends the way it does is because the story of Acts continues on. God is not ready to conclude this great story just yet. There is still much work to be done. The book can be compared to a movie or a television show that ends with the words, "to be continued." Luke leaves us wanting more intentionally. Even though there is no direct conclusion to this unfinished story, there are several applications that we can make. Let me give you 2 things for you to take home from this lesson. The first thing for us to take home from this lesson is this. Jesus wants us to continue the story of Acts by continuing to build close relationships with one another. This means that we should be building close relationships with one another in the assembly and outside the assembly. And let me show you what I mean by in the assembly. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. It says, "They were continually," this is speaking of the early Christians, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The Bible says in verse 42 that the early Christians devoted themselves to observing the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This means they worshiped God together. They prayed together. They observed the Lord's Supper together. And they studied God's Word together. By them worshiping together, they were able to draw closer together as a spiritual family. But they also had a close relationship with one another outside of the assembly. Let me show you what I mean here. Drop down to verses 44 of Acts chapter 2 through 47. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want to tell you something about me. Something maybe you did not know about me. Before I moved to Beaumont, I started working with the Dowling Road Church in Beaumont. Spending time with Christians, which is something that I struggled with. I thought it was pointless and maybe even unnecessary. I thought it was good enough just to see Christians on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. I wanted to keep myself and keep to myself and isolate myself from other people. But over the last year of my life, over the last 18 months rather, since working with the Dowling Road Church and getting to travel and be with other Christians, people like you, I understand now the value of being with other Christians. My perception of that has changed. After Peter preached the gospel on this day in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were baptized. After these 3,000 people became Christians, what did they do? The Bible says they made a serious effort to spend time together. They did not just spend time together in worship service, but they ate their meals together, and they shared their financial resources with one another. And not only did they do these things, but they did it with gladness and sincerity of heart. This is something that Jesus wants to continue among His people. What we have in these verses are approved examples of what we should be doing. Christians building strong relationships with one another. It's something we can read about frequently in the book of Acts. We can read about it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 16, and Acts chapter 20. This was something that was an important aspect of the early Christians' lives. And building strong relationships with one another is something that should be a key component of our lives. The second thing for you to take home from this lesson is Jesus wants us to continue this unfinished story by continuing to teach Christ to people. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 28 one last time. Acts chapter 28 one last time. Look at verses 30 through 31 again, please. Remember, this is talking about the Apostle Paul in prison. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. The book of Acts ends with an example of what we should be doing in our lives. We should be spreading the name of Jesus just like the Apostle Paul was doing while imprisoned in Rome. Notice that Paul was in prison while teaching the things concerning Jesus Christ. He made the most of every opportunity he had to teach people the good news about Jesus, and we should too. Young people, if there's any young people here with us, you need to be aware of the fact that there are hundreds of lost souls in the school that you attend. People your age who need the gospel taught to them. Make the most of those opportunities. Even if it means teaching Christ at lunch, in the library, or in your home. if you feel uncomfortable teaching at school. Give one of your peers, give one of your schoolmates a card to where you worship and invite them to come to service with you. Then maybe when you get them here, you can set up a Bible study with you and another Christian. And this also applies to adults as well. I know there are many people here who love to teach the Bible and do teach the Bible. But there is still much more we can all do. There are people on our jobs and in our neighborhoods who are thirsting for the truth found in this book. Whenever we find time to teach the gospel to the lost, we are continuing the ongoing work of our Savior. The converting of lost souls should not stop in Acts chapter 28. It should continue on today among God's people, no matter what our circumstances may be. When I think about this point, it reminds me of a man I know in Beaumont. His name is John D. John is a faithful Christian, and he attends the congregation where I preach at in Beaumont. And I know if it was up to John, he would be at church every time the doors were opened. But certain situations, certain circumstances on his job prevent that. He works for the sheriff's department. Ever since he got this new job, he works 7 days a week, and he can hardly ever come to service. But you see, that has not stopped John from continuing the ongoing work of Jesus. Since John has been working for the sheriff's department, he has had several Bible studies with inmates. And to the glory of God, he has baptized 7 people into Christ. This is just one example of the ongoing work of Jesus continuing through his disciples. That is what the book of Acts is all about. It is about salvation. It is about teaching people about salvation found in Jesus Christ. And this is a work that we, the people of God, we must continue on. The story that began in Acts will not come to a conclusion until Christ comes again. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, John chapter 9 verse number 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus says there will come a day when none of us will be able to work. If we are to continue this, the story of this great book, we must continue to work for Jesus until he says it is time to rest. Every day we continue this great story. The conclusion is still yet to be determined. When a person is baptized into Christ, the story continues on. The main character stays the same, but new supporting characters are added every day. We must continue the great mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't live in the same time period as the first century Christians, but we do worship the same Christ. We're obligated to follow the same plan. We're on the same mission. We're commanded to obey the same message. And when we are baptized into Christ, we all become the same people. Christians. Tonight, you can continue this great story. It starts with responding to the gospel and being baptized for the remission of your sins. There's someone here who needs to become a Christian. Tonight is the night. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Give your life to the Lord. We will baptize you tonight. Just come to the front right now as we stand and we sing together.